right. Well, welcome to Game Chat and our first week discussing Life is Strange Before the Storm. This week we're discussing episode one. So we have a couple of new people. So I'm just going to go around really quick just to say your name if you want to. Starting with Franco, and we'll just go down the list.
Okay, I'm Franco.
Wonderful.
I'm Lady Seed, also known as Madeline.
I'm Josh. I'm signing as M. Joshua.
I'm Mason, today without Michelle, and sometimes you'll see me as Cheeser.
Awesome.
I'm Kevin, also known as Nevik.
Nice. I like the inversion there.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Ragdoll Zombie, but also known as Raggy. Sometimes you can call me Kylie. That's my real name.
Cool. Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm Steph, otherwise known as Steph Skazart on Discord. So it's so difficult, you know, to tell what my name is. But here I am. So welcome. Welcome to the new people. It's always exciting to me to have new people here. But anyways.
I'm a little nervous. I don't go into talking that much. But.
Well, Kylie, okay. You can talk as much or as little as you want to, for real. If we're ever talking over you, just be like, guys, stop.
Also, Life is Strange is like a big topic for me because it affects me so much.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. So has everyone here played the first game?
Of course, I have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. I know. Yeah. Okay. Our usuals. I know that they have. So, and then Kevin, you played it. You played it, right?
I played most of it, but I've seen Kylie play it a lot. So.
Great.
Cool.
Great. Excellent. So. Starting off, like, what were your general, like, what did you guys expect going into Before the Storm?
I expected it to be a little bit different since it was a different, company, but, I also had expectations that it would still meet the same Life is Strange quality, like, the same feeling that the other one did.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it didn't as much feel like it, but they tried their best, and I still love the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah, I gotta say, they did a pretty good job emulating, or at least staying pretty close to the characters from, you know, Life is Strange. Mm-hmm. I was pretty impressed with not only graphically, but with the writing and everything. They kind of stayed somewhat true to the source material.
Especially when it comes to the feels.
Yes.
I guess for me, I was expecting the criticism that was consistently levied at the original was that it felt like they made up a lot of like weird words, like caricaturized how teenagers actually talk.
Yeah.
And anybody who actually spends time around teenagers know that these people are still a lot smarter than most teenagers are. just from experience. But the biggest thing was the use of the term Hella, and how much Chloe said that all the time in the original. And it just felt like, who talks like that? Seriously? And in this one, I felt like they acknowledged that and dealt with that and kind of confronted those criticisms in a way that like gave narrative substance. So that was my big surprise, was that I felt like they responded to the criticisms of the original in unique and smart ways.
Yeah, for sure.
I was not super excited to meet Rachel Amber. Hear me out. I felt like that she was a really excellent symbol for like everything that Chloe wanted to be in Life is Strange.
Yeah.
And then once we would meet her, I would either be super disappointed or she would be like incredibly Mary Sue and I would be really annoyed.
Oh yeah.
What does that mean? What does it mean to be Mary Sue?
That she would just be like excellent at everything, which she is, and everything would go her way. But fortunately, as we've seen in the first episode, everything is not going her way.
Yeah.
So I like that. Also, she'll like say stuff and then turn around and smile at Chloe, and I'm like, I'm not gay, but I want to hang out with you and do whatever you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm down for this.
Yeah.
That's weirdly encouraging to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely is very charming. She's very charming. Yeah. Anyone
so
else?
So I'm going to be, let's see. I did not play Life is Strange, the original. I watched a playthrough.
Okay. Okay.
Episodically. And all the way, you know, through the endings and stuff. So I have to be, you know, I'm going to say the game developers in this one redeemed themselves because I was just, for the first 5 minutes, I was really getting frustrated with Chloe. It was like, boy, this is getting so off to a, you know, a tropey beginning with, you know, the rough kid.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, pardon the pun, on the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah.
So there was really starting to annoy me a bit.
Yeah.
And the mechanics were kind of like, especially with the first thing with the club, the mill club, it's like I was searching for the trick, you know, obviously, you know, is there a crack in a wall she sneaks through, or, you know, does she jump over a car and there's an open window, or, you know, so, you know, after three attempts with the bouncer, and then I said, all right, I'm going to try the, you know, the really, the bitchy, you know, answer, you know, and try to get through there. And then, you know, that's the key to get through there. And that's the only way, I think. I don't know. Can you get in the club any other way?
I'm pretty sure that's
there,
like,
is one other way, actually.
Oh, what's that?
If you, go behind him, where there's like a little doghouse, I think, that you can move like up to this ledge that has like a door that's kind of open, I think. I don't remember exactly, but something like that. Cool. But you have to have talked to the guy first and have like
lost the word fight, the argument.
No, I think you just have to talk to him for a little bit. You don't have to start the back talk thing, I don't think.
Cool. Yeah, the back talk thing for me, on paper, it didn't sound like it was going to be gripping to me. Like okay, in Life is Strange, the proper, you had time manipulation powers. And this one, you can back talk people. That doesn't really sound that great on paper.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know. Something is particularly charming about finding a way how to verbally berate people as like to win, in a sense. I know. I see right through all the systems, but I'm like, yeah, I feel it, you know.
Yeah.
And it feels so good to talk off a bully.
Well, that's the thing. Like I enjoyed the backtalk so much that I would do stuff that I didn't feel like was true to Chloe's interpretation of Chloe, because I wanted to do the backtalk.
Yeah.
I was like, Chloe wouldn't do this. She doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I want to have a word
defending
fight,
Nathan
so.
Prescott. Like,
no.
It doesn't seem like like he's the guy who later pulls a gun on her. That doesn't quite seem like it's going to be, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely feels good to play as an emotional reaction to things, and just trying to find the right way to attack people.
Yeah.
The one thing that's sort of weird about it is that it does, as Kylie was saying, like, it does kind of like gate you through that, even if there is the alternative, like, way around the bouncer. Like, the game is definitely trying to encourage you to be good at back talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, since I've like had my experience with bullies, telling off Drew was the best thing I could have, like, the best feeling ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I did it right the first time too.
Nice.
You did?
Nice.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Yeah, I think that they you know, that's probably something they kept in mind, because they know kind of who they're playing to. you know, they like they know the people that, you know, that there's a lot of people that deal with bullies in this culture, I guess. So yeah, it was definitely satisfying.
So Steph, should we talk through like the opening scene in general and
yeah,
like
how, sure.
what happens and how that made us feel and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm proposing that we do that, but I'm gonna ask that someone else does it because I tend to dominate conversations.
Oh no, you don't get away with that. No.
Okay, so to me the beginning with like the train and everything seemed a little bit out of place, in my opinion. Because, I mean, I know Chloe likes, the train tracks and everything, but, like, why would she, like, go to that length to,
Oh, right, to bait
to kind
the train.
Of, like, bait the train like that. Most,
like, yeah, just, like, play chicken with the train and just kind of step out of the way at the last second. Yeah.
It seems a little out of place to me.
It seems overly confident for a 15, 16-year-old girl to do.
Yeah, it seemed very Life is Strange, original Chloe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that I believed that part of it more than I bought a lot of the rest of Chloe's stuff. Increasing risk-taking behavior is something I see in Chloe. I mean, that's why she's doing everything else she's doing in this.
Sure.
True.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I also feel like a lot of what she's like, the other things that she does in this episode, like trying to pick a fight with a Samoan bouncer and like picking on his flowers on his motorcycle and stuff like that. I feel like that's kind of like her stepping out into a more punk character.
Yeah.
But she's also like she's also being a poser. Like it's very clear that I had identified with that a lot because that was me at 15 too. It's like I don't know who I am, so I'm going to like be like the external badass, even though I'm really, you know, like I have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And so like I felt like that was super clear in that opening, like when she gets inside and she's like considering like, okay, I know that I'm not supposed to be here, but I've got my way in and I'm going to try to pretend that I fit in some way, shape, or form, even though there's all these passed out drunk people everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you said she was a poser, because I was afraid that you were going to be mad at me when I said she was a poser.
Did anybody else notice the train number?
No, what's the train number?
1337.
Leet?
Yep.
Yeah.
What?
that's just a leet speak, hacker speak for like this is our people.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I rolled my eyes when I saw that. It's like that's pretty blatant and one of the first scenes of the whole game. It's like,
if you catch it, I never.
I didn't catch it either. I didn't.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, I hope that's the only one in the rest of the game.
And that's one of those hard things. The developers have a hard time figuring out like how much of this is too obvious and how much isn't obvious enough at all.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like in Immersive Sims and 0451, which is like a thing in it's like this is this genre. It like in Tacoma, like what's the first code that you can enter in the game? 0451. It's just kind of like winking
like
nod.
The band being named Firewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the Twin Peaks references that were in the first
Life is Strange. It's exactly like that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, I didn't catch that either, but that is definitely direct correlation to any like uber fan of Twin Peaks. That would be like really ham-fisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so how did this Frank? How did this scene hit you? The opening in the game.
Well, actually, to be honest, I'm a good friend with a railroad engineer. So it's like, it was, to be honest, it pissed me off because it's like, if you people had any idea what railroad engineers go through when, you know, this kind of thing happens.
When someone baits a train?
Not even baits, when some people bait, Well, let me put it to you bluntly. When he started training and he related the story to me, the instructor told him it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. That unfortunately a lot of people choose that's the way they're going to go out. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's kind of small town life, though.
I think
it's a small town.
To walk
the tracks. I mean, like, my parents, you know, I'm from like a small town in West Virginia. Like, you know, they talk about walking the train tracks all the time, and, you know, when they were younger, and, you know, baiting trains, and it's just a lack of anything else to do. Kind of, it gives you a sense of thrill without, you know, but you think that it's okay because it's like, oh, it's a big train. Like, you know, of course I can outrun it.
Slip.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, it's just a sense of thrill when they don't have that much other thrill in their life.
Right. And it's the old, for me, it's the old, well, think about the guy on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, they're teenagers. Teenagers don't think about stuff like that.
It's a video game. Who's? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, even like real life, like I mean, like, most teens aren't going to be like, "Oh, wow, I wonder how this is going to make the guy driving the train feel."
Exactly.
No, it's unfortunate, Frank, but you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Other than that, I mean, just you know.
What about once you actually got inside the club and stuff like that?
Yeah,
eventually I did. I was, you know.
I kind of think the whole club thing was probably like the one thing that I wasn't that thrilled about towards the beginning. Like, it just seemed very, like, I know it was a good introduction, I guess, but I don't know. Like, it just, like, out of the entire episode, it probably seemed like the part to me that was the least authentic, the least, I don't know, helpful towards the story or even towards the character of Chloe. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Forced and artificial or something?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
I used to go to a lot of shows like this at this same age and when I was a teenage poser. And I felt like I knew what this scene was going for and how they missed a lot of the details to get it right and how hard it is to pull off that, like, being a teenager in a space where there's a lot of people who are drunk and acting inappropriately, but also trying to navigate that. Ultimately, what was the point of that scene for you guys? What do you think was the goal of what they were trying to communicate?
They wanted Rachel Amber to have to meet Chloe, but it's still super forced because we see Rachel Amber down on the first floor dancing in the crowd when Chloe's trying, like, if you try and force your way into the crowd, whenever, I guess you have to, that's when you knock the beer up against the skeevy guy. You see Rachel Amber dancing in the crowd, and so then Chloe knocks into the other people and then goes upstairs, and then the other people are going to come in and beat up or whatever to Chloe, and then Savior Rachel shows up and... Yeah.
So that's the first choice in the game. That's when you have the choice to either attack Skeevy Dude or run. How many of you guys attacked?
I
ran.
Yeah, I think I ran the first too.
Time. I ran.
I figured it was the smart thing to do because.
So, sorry, what did you do again, Frank? You attacked.
I ran.
You ran. Okay, cool. Yeah, I ran too.
Because
you're outnumbered. You're not supposed to be there to begin with. And you're
just got the sharp object. You got nothing.
Yeah, guy's got a broken beer bottle.
And you're on a bunch of high wood.
Yeah.
And I considered all of that, and then remembered that Chloe had just talked so big to the 300-pound Samoan outside the door, and said, "What would Chloe do? She would knee the guy in the balls." And so I did.
Oh, well, that's what happened.
Not just a Samoan, but, you know, standing on those tracks too. It's like she doesn't really care.
No,
like
she wants to see how far she can go.
Yeah, so I definitely had her punch the dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. So, was there any consequences for those of you who attacked the dude? Did you see any of those consequences in this episode?
Did y'all get a black eye? You ran away.
Ooh.
No black eye.
I got a black eye.
Yep,
oh, black right, right.
Oh,
yeah,
that's going to be fun.
So, it really wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, it was more like a cosmetic thing.
That's it.
So, yeah, like your mom gives you crap about it.
Yeah.
So actually, there's more to it with the black eye, because I remember my other playthrough. There's when you meet Rachel, right? And is it okay if I talk about this? Like,
some
of you haven't. There's a scene where Rachel puts makeup on the black eye, and it seems like, you know, like a bonding moment.
I liked it to not let her put makeup on my black eye because I'm Chloe and I'm a 15-year-old badass and I'm gonna wear that badge.
Yeah,
but that was me.
Yeah, that's a really interesting decision. I like that it had opportunity for the road.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, it's like truly like a bonding friend moment, and I really like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rachel saves Chloe. They end up dancing at the show together, and then Chloe wakes up the next day sort of hungover and in her house, and her mom is asking her to come downstairs. What was it like for you guys being back in Chloe's bedroom before it turned mega punk?
I appreciated that they left the thing that says push space. I was playing on my PC, push space bar to exit your little like music loop when you're laying in bed and just chilling. Because in the first Life is Strange, it like showed up on the screen in a little corner and then faded out. And so I didn't see it when it showed up, and I couldn't figure out what to push to get out of it. It was like one of those dreams where you can't wake up. Like, it wasn't terrible, but it was... I had to, like, exit
out. Yeah. Just the perpetual loop thing that Life is Strange does. That's, for me personally, that's, like, my absolute favorite part of this game, which is saying a lot. But if you don't mind me asking the rest of you guys, like, how'd you feel about those perpetual loop moments, those kind of, like, I can exit out of this, or I can just let the music play and things consistently loop.
I love them. How they give you a choice. Like, you know, you just want to stay in the moment, or or if you just want to go through it, then you can go through it. But like,
I found those moments within this game to be, I don't know, they seemed a little bit more meaningful than in Life is Strange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, for me personally, I think it's more of, you know, we already know what happens to Chloe in the end, and, you know, this is kind of reflecting upon her with her, like, loss, quote-unquote, of Max, and her kind of becoming her own person, and with that, it seemed like it carried more weight than it did when you were playing as Max in the regular game.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt too. If you don't mind my asking, like, so the overall concept of this being a prequel, like most general consensus is that like prequels, why? But in this case, how did the nature of it being a prequel, did it feel like it made everything feel more substantive or less so?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for me, it felt like that there was more meaning or weight to it, knowing what's to come, and that it's just it was interesting because you're kind of seeing Chloe become the person that she became, basically. So
and Kylie,
seeing Chloe grow up and turn into how she is in the original game.
And kind of driving that,
I've said this, and I'll say it again, is that, you know, the first series of Life is Strange, I actually thought Chloe was pretty annoying. I didn't like her as a character, and I remember I took up Before the Storm for an article for Game Church, and so I played it kind of expecting not to like it because it was centered around Chloe. But this game as a prequel has made me care about a character that I didn't care for before. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and your article title was Life is Strange and Humans Are Complex.
Yes.
And just bringing that extra layer of complexity into the picture. I need to go through and reread your article now that I've actually played through this. And
yeah, it's basically just saying, like, the first game, because we did that for, you know, for Game Chat. That was our first game for Game Chat 2 years ago. And towards the end, like, some of us decided to save Chloe and to drive off in the sunset with Chloe, you know, with Max and Chloe. And I was like, I don't understand how you can make the decision. Like, I find Chloe annoying. I wouldn't save her. And basically, at least the first episode has made me, like, want to save her. Like, Yeah. So that's what it did for me.
Yeah. No, I can absolutely feel that. I don't even know if I actually liked her in the other game. Like a character, but I absolutely loved what she represented, and that was why I really loved the idea of trying to cling to that relationship, because every episode you're like losing her and trying to process that loss in a sense.
Yeah.
So the next thing that happens in the game is you get to your house, you get in a conversation with your mom, and you get into conversation with your mom's boyfriend. You potentially find your mom and her boyfriend's condoms.
Oh, God.
Awkward.
Anybody else find those? Just curious.
Yes.
I was like, I didn't find those.
Open all the drawers, Steph. I was like, oh,
pick up all the wrappers.
Yep. Steph, you go through all the drawers and you didn't find them? What?
Yeah, Steph, you're one who knocks on every door in Observer, but you don't find the box of condoms in this game? What the heck?
It's in where Frank's drawer is in Life is Strange.
Ah, yeah. But yeah, so then the next, you go through the house and you kind of have like a bunch of essentially like reflection on this. The house feels very similar to what it does in the original game. And then you go to, after having a conversation with David, then you go back to Blackwell. I want to talk to you about one part in there. But before I do that, I want to give everyone a chance to talk. How did the scene of being in the house, how did that make you feel?
The scene in particular, I cannot stand Chloe when she's not around Rachel. She just feels really rebel without a cause. And like, your dad dying in a horrific car crash is certainly a cause to be angry at everything, but I really feel like her mom is really trying with her, and she is not giving her any, like, there was no option to just like walk away from mom or like end the conversation without saying all of the terrible things.
Well, you can.
Like, you can make up with mom after that, but you have to say all the terrible things.
I feel like that's like May's trash mouth. Like, May in Night in the Woods, like, she has a compulsive trash mouth problem. She can't not verbally vomit, and I feel like Chloe is kind of the same way, because she's a teenage, angsty teenage girl.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of, like, true to course with kind of, like, real life. Yeah. You know, with my sister, but you know, growing up with my sister, it's like she was pretty much the same way towards my parents, just like mouthing off and screaming and yelling at them for no apparent reason. So it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of the phase that she is in life right now. So
I think it's all, it's all a character thing. I mean, at least in my opinion, like, even though that's like, I might not understand it. I mean, honestly, some things that she says, I'm like, yeah, that's stuff that I thought growing up, but I never had the guts to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's just, I don't know. And it's kind of like, it brings up the question of like, you know, when you make choices, when you give the characters choices for the player to choose, like, you know, shouldn't you keep it like on a set scale of like, this is going along with who we want this character to be, or to be like, you know, because her not saying those things, like, I'm not sure that would to me at least, fit with who she is or who she becomes.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely true with a conversation with her mom. But then when she gets outside and is forced to go get a socket wrench for David, then how many of you did not backtalk David? Just curious.
I didn't the first try because I was like, why? It's, you know?
Yeah.
I did.
Oh. I did, and I lost it, and I was so mad.
Because he
lost? Yeah. Backtalk.
Yes.
What did you do wrong? And what
I don't know. I don't know. He still gives you the speech. I feel like it's probably the same speech that you would get if you didn't backtalk him. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, why would Chloe waste that energy, you know?
Because he's, I wouldn't be able to hold myself back if I mean, you know, I found David's character very kind of, I mean, I found him a lot more, he seems very kind of like back and forth, at least in this first episode. Like, it seems like he's like sweet.
He's trying to be sweet.
Sometimes he's trying, maybe he's trying to be sweet, but then like, you know, he just like snaps with these. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then he snaps back with these things that I'm like, ooh, my annoyance meter is rising.
It's hard to tell how much anger. Of it is like him being intentionally written as like a sort of like a having that same trash mouth problem.
Yeah,
and how much
time.
Of it is him just being poorly, like maybe being poorly written or like.
When he talks to Chloe, he's speaking a completely different language. And I'm sure that's how she feels.
I feel like it's basically just him not really knowing how to act because he was in the army for however long he was.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how much the army makes you socially retarded.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that you don't know how to talk to people. I think it's more that he doesn't know how to, like, he's trying to be a father figure.
Yeah, that too.
And like
inappropriately,
Yeah, and like when he's talking to Chloe, he's like, "You've had a break from a father figure long enough." And like I was livid, and I was like, "Yeah, she's been on vacation. That's why she arranged for her father to be killed." She arranged for her father to be killed in a car accident.
It's understandable how Chloe reacts to her mother. Sometimes because, like we've probably realized, she feels abandoned, you know, by losing her father, her mother getting, you know, a boyfriend. She, like, I don't know how to explain it, but.
No, I completely agree. With her
mom.
So,
she was really
crazy. What was that?
I think that part of the reason why I didn't have a problem with Chloe being all mouthy and backtalking was because, you can see that her mom's making an effort externally, but she's also distancing. You know, she wasn't, like, asking her anything really personal. She was, you know, little snide comments that are just minor, but, you know, enough that would block someone from trying to connect emotionally. It's like, she's not really trying to connect with her daughter either. She just wants her to be under control.
Or she's tried to connect. So if she's tried to connect before, and then she's clearly at her limit.
I was just going to transition from the scene, but if you had something else that you wanted to add, Kylie, go for it.
It's just I want to say something because like Chloe's character really gets to me emotionally because of the things that she's been through because I've lost my dad recently and I kind of feel the same way a little bit with her frustration and anger and depression and it's hard. It's really not that easy to go through all that.
For sure.
Yeah, it can't be overstated how hard it is to go through that.
Especially having to see it in front of you. Fortunately, she didn't have to go through that, but
actually a good segue. The thing that happens in between the Blackwell scene and her house scene is we're first introduced to the transition scene, we'll call it that, where she's riding in the car with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's treated as it's a dream, but it's also like a mixture of a memory and some of present tense is mixed into it.
Yeah.
And there's like the socket wrench is in the back seat. And yeah. So how did these moments, the riding in the back of the car with Dad, how did this scene hit you guys?
It kind of affected me a lot because even though I haven't really gotten like that many nightmares about mm-hmm. my dad, I still had dreams about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would wake up feeling like I'm surprised that it didn't show Chloe waking up and feeling upset about what had mm-hmm. just happened.
Yeah.
Because it you know, you have that feeling where you have your dad like in a dream and mm-hmm. you just want to give them a hug. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised, you know, I don't mm-hmm. know how to explain it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So after that scene, then you get to Blackwell and you're given the pressure to go into, science class, because you're apparently late for science class. You have to pick up a DVD first or give a DVD back or something. And apparently there's still plenty of time to play a game of D&D.
Yes.
So is there anybody who did not play this game of D&D?
I didn't play it because I wanted to go on with the story and not... I should have played it for a while, but... I decided not to.
So somebody who played, go ahead and describe what was it like and what happened.
I think it was actually a pretty fun experience. It was kind of a little bit confusing. Well, I haven't actually joined in a game of D&D yet, but she just kind of is given a character sheet and they're able to go and do all like... she's just able to like hop in so easily, and it's
It's just an abbreviated version of D&D versus like a real game where there's actual rolling and there's actual stats. It's all very hard and linear, but
yeah, it was lovely. I loved it. I sat there and played through like I went to every area, the camp, the
oh right, because there was the option to go to different areas. Spaces instead of just going straight to the boss.
Exactly, yeah. Three different spaces. I went to all of them to experience them all and loved it.
You really missed science class.
Did you end up cutting off his feet?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if it's
cutting off the boss's feet or getting your friend
cut off his feet.
No, one of the guys,
your partner,
the companion. Yeah. His feet got chopped off for me too.
Yeah. But
it's funny because like it still has like an emotional impact, even though it's just a character in a campaign in the middle of another video game.
I know. It was great. I think it was very well written. It was completely side thing. Like it had nothing to do with anything else. But, I enjoyed it.
What, Chris, how about you? Oh, Frank, go ahead.
I was just wondering from Steph, what did the side camps have to offer? Because I skipped the side camps because I figured, well, that's what Chloe would do. She would, being a hard charge, she would go right
there. The side camps, I mean, you went to one and you freed the prisoners. Of course, in each area, there was someone that you had to fight. I'm trying to think. I mean, it was pretty like
when you freed the prisoners, you got to use your back talk on the little dragon dude.
Yes. Yeah,
remember what he was?
Yes. Yeah. And you make him
pee his pants.
Shred his pants.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him. I feel bad for all non-human seniors.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one of them, I thought it was the dragon. I think that Chloe, like, pulled him out. Like, Chloe's character pulled him out and, like, turned him inside out or something. She threatened that. And everyone was kind of like, Steph and the other guy were kind of like, okay.
What?
Plus, I really enjoy that there was a character in the game named Steph. I'll just say that.
And then the other one was, it was the training grounds where there was a bunch of orcs. And he ends up melting everything Of course.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because he uses one of his spells and it completely obliterates everything. And they're well, and so when you get to the final boss, she's like, well, you've used your biggest spell, so you don't really have anything to do here.
It was his only non-fire spell.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Did you like this part too?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think. And I mean, it's been a while since I played this game. Since I played it, just like the day it came out. But I think I visited every area that was available. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So after this, you're led to go into the building, and of course this leads to the bully showdown with the brother of your companion in the D&D campaign. This is one thing that I just have to throw out there, because it irks me that this is Blackwell Academy is like a science and art school, right?
Yeah.
So why are there jobs?
Yeah,
because sports.
I went to an art college, so like I know like how.
Yeah, but that's college.
Well, no, but I mean, like, it was like a trade school, so it's like right in that same size. Mm-hmm. It was that same, like, my school felt like almost identical to Blackwell, except that this place had a dorm.
Yeah.
And there were like some meathead guys, but they didn't have varsity jerseys because there was no varsity team.
Exactly.
Oh, I just had to throw that out there.
I'm sure the Prescott's paid for there to be a football team.
Before the school, though, did anybody end up going on stage and getting yelled at by the principal?
Yeah. Oh,
of course. That was fun.
I tried to backtalk him, but I immediately got shut down.
Well, sure, he's the principal.
What happened here?
Yes.
What?
You mean like once you go into the school and there's
No, it's outside. On the stage, it's outside on the ground.
Oh, yeah,
I felt not that walk on stage.
So I didn't see this part. What happens?
You go and sit on the stage, even though it says do not sit on the stage. And the principal's like, why are you sitting on my stage?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not like that. But
yeah.
He's just like, Miss Chloe Price. And here's a sign that says do not sit on stage. And where do I find you? Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And I didn't try to backtalk him.
He threatens her with, like, not so random search and seizure, like saying that, you know, basically he listens to gossip and she's got drugs on her, and she's able to talk him. And I was able to talk him down and, like, threaten that, like basically that I know that my constitutional rights say that you can't illegally search and use my stuff. And he's like, well, we're a private institution. And because I had already talked to the chemistry teacher who told me that the Prescotts had made a sizable donation for the art program, and she was mad because she feels like STEM should get more money, then I was able to be like, I know that, you know, did the Prescotts pay for you to illegally, you know, for you to seize people's belongings? And he's like, maybe we don't need to look in your bag.
Yeah.
I failed that back talk so bad because I didn't know that there's a timer.
Yeah,
I got shut down like 2 seconds in because of the timer.
See, it's a little... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, since the chemistry... Chloe kept being like, oh, I'm going to be late to class and Mom's going to be mad at me if I'm late to class again. And the chemistry teacher is sitting outside on the bench.
She's just chilling.
And I was like, why do you keep saying this? Clearly this is not a timed event. Yeah. So
exactly.
I feel like everyone.
Life is Strange at Large has like a lot of these really stupid like details they completely missed. And I don't care. Like any other game would do this. I'd be like, this game's terrible. I hate it. And this one, for whatever reason, I'm like, that's fine. Whatever.
It's good. Of course, I really miss chemistry. What? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I really got kind of, afterwards, at the end of the episode, I got kind of annoyed at the game because, they were throwing this red herring about the chemistry class, and I missed like two interactions with two characters. I missed Skippy, the security guard.
Oh, yeah, I got those.
Totally. And there was another kid, I guess, who was you could talk to on the left-hand side. I totally missed the left-hand side of the schoolyard.
Is he the one that asked you?
I missed all that, too.
Who? Wait.
No, I know who you're...
Somebody's homework you played with or something.
Yes. Victoria.
Yeah, I totally missed
Victoria. Yeah, I remember seeing in the post at the end of the credits, there was like, you didn't mess with Victoria's homework or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, she was there sitting at the fountain.
Quarter, yeah, a third category. Like, you totally didn't even notice.
Where does everybody get your phone number?
I think that the assumption is that everyone just has it.
Yeah, that's the assumption.
Or like everyone just knows one another on like Facebook Messenger or something, and that just links everything together. I don't know.
Yeah. So how did you guys like the? You want to say something, Joshua?
No, you go for it. Go for it.
Oh no, I was just going to just move on to the to the scene where you come in. Rachel pulls you into the drama of the drama club.
Yeah.
So how did you guys like that part?
I loved the music a lot.
Yeah. What did you like about the music?
It felt, you know, nostalgic and kind of like, it just felt happy when she told you to get her belt and this music started playing and it's like, it just felt friendly and, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt in the entirety of this moment. Like, up until this point, I don't feel like you really got to know Rachel Amber at all.
Yeah.
And here, all of a sudden, you kind of have this pretty girl kind of just like saying, hey, come with me. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, pretty girl. Sure. We'll
do what you say. You make me feel important. I'll follow you around.
Yeah. I was actually getting kind of nervous because I'm like, where the hell is this coming from?
I don't know.
It's like, am I getting set up?
This is very, I guess it kind of, you could say it sort of feels very Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet in a way, where they're just kind of like, oh, we're teenagers and we have hormones and I love you. Let's get married. Even though we just met like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, when did we meet actually? Like, yeah. I feel that, but at the same time, like I'm around teenagers all the time, and like I'm like, wait, you broke up with like this guy you dated for 2 years last week, and you're with another guy already, and you're holding hands, and we're meeting him. What?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a real story, by the way. This isn't me making this up.
Yeah.
What did you guys choose when you had to give her the belt?
To whether to go around or whether to put it over the top.
Yeah, I didn't throw it.
I was
afraid I was going to end up hitting her in the head or something.
It does.
That's exactly what happened.
I knew it.
Yeah, does. I handed it to her directly because, I felt like that's something that, like, she's crushing on her. She wants to know, like, I might as well take like this naked risk.
I wanted, because I wanted to give her space, and that's just normally me. Like,
Yeah.
I think that's probably a more appropriate response. One thing that I really liked was that once I did that the game never actually showed what she looked like behind like Chloe sees what she looks her in her bra or clothes or whatever or out of her clothes, but you never actually get to see that. I like it when games wasn't separate gratuitous that for the player.
Yeah, still leaves the mystery there.
So. This kind of leads, I forget how this even transitions, but like this leads to her basically saying, hey, want to go out right now?
Get on. Yeah. I think it just transitions to them getting on the train or walking or something.
Go to science class.
And this is also the scene where if he had the black eye, she will ask to put makeup.
Yeah, that's a key point that a lot of us missed.
Yeah.
So how did you guys feel about the idea? Like, did anybody feel reticent to skip class with her and jump on a train?
Yeah.
I
was excited.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I guess let's screw science class. And the forgettable boy that the game has set up.
There was a boy I took
as the end, as you should have, because why would the game put a fake love triangle in here? Who cares about this kid?
Poor Ellie.
I mean,
not his name.
I think it's Elliot.
It's Elliot.
I think it is Elliot. I'm sure he has feelings and a mother who cares about him somewhere. But seriously, why?
I don't know that the writers got that far.
So somewhere in game space, there's a family. A
friend zone.
No, they went out because if in Chloe's bedroom, there's like ticket stubs, and it's like happy 2-month anniversary.
Yeah.
And oh, really? In the picture, and then the picture on Chloe's phone, I thought he had an earring in, and I was like, okay, I can see why Chloe would be with him. He has a facial piercing, and it's edgy. And then you meet him in real life, and I was like, literally, what do you see in him?
Yeah,
I think it's probably a good indication of like what she was, you know, like just like her transition from what she was into what she's becoming.
It
just reminded me of Warren and his kind of
Warren character.
But I feel like Warren was an actual person.
He actually had like a personality. He actually had things that he liked and wanted to talk about. Yeah.
And was adorable.
I thought it was cute.
So bad for Warren.
Just like little side thing, noticed that Warren was commenting on the message board on Chloe's computer when from like the morning after.
Yeah, I think so. About the picture that Rachel took of them at the garden.
And as well as the was commenting on the like essentially Reddit or board post as the doctor.
Huh.
Oh, like where to find the firewall concert?
Yeah, he was putting in nerdy quotes.
I mean, I saw the nerdy quotes, but
I actually have Warren's meow shirt in real life.
Nice, very nice. Yeah.
Cool. So we all have hopped on the train. We're all riding with Rachel Amber on a train as vagrants, having no idea where we're going except for that it is very clearly danced around the fact that this is a date. And so how did you guys feel at this moment, and when did it like really register that this is like a date, or how many of you guys didn't feel like it was a date?
Well, it was kind of awkward at first because like when she said, I just was lonely, so I have you here now. But the music part, like where you can choose to share the music with her, I always choose to share the music because it's like,
yeah, that was my absolute favorite moment in this episode. I think I literally just sat there for maybe like 10-15 minutes, just letting it
loop.
Just enjoy it. It was the most meaningful loop in the entire Life is Strange series for me so far.
Yeah.
Because I felt like this is how people really like this is how people really bond.
Yeah. Or you could just sit there like an introvert and listen to music yourself.
did you do that?
No.
For me in high school, that was how you showed someone that you were interested in them hormonally, is you shared your music with them. It's like the most personal thing besides your personal body that you can share with someone.
Yeah. That's very, very true. And that's why I was thinking, like, I looked at the stats afterwards, and there was like a stat for like how many people didn't share their music. It said, I have the stats right here in front of me. Where is it? You shared earbuds with Rachel, 98%. And there's like 2% who didn't share earbuds with Rachel. And I'm like, you monsters.
Those 2% are the people that replayed the episode.
Yeah,
I feel just like to see what happened. Yeah. Oh, that's so true.
Think about how awkward would that be, just sitting there, Chloe, just
you
like.
You didn't even choose to flirt.
Music.
I did. I chose to flirt with her. She's like, I have you here with me now, or something like that. And I was like, or Chloe was like, sorry, my view card has been punched.
Yeah,
she's like, whoa.
Wow.
And she's like, oh.
That was hilarious.
And I was like, that was what you're going for. Okay.
I don't know if I would call that flirting, but that is.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point. Cutting the chase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this for me, I have to just throw it out there. This is my absolute favorite tragic teenage lesbian romance video game. And I know that that's a lot of words all strung together, but we're at at least four now. I can think of about two others that aren't quite the same, like, huge caliber. This is kind of revisionistically seeing the first Life is Strange as that same genre. And then there's a couple of others like Gone Home and one of my personal favorites was Left Behind, the expansion to The Last of Us. Go ahead.
Gone Home isn't really a tragedy.
Not in the same sense that this one is, because of it's super clear that the main character, it's about the main character dying, but in terms of
Gone Home.
Well, yeah, Gone Home doesn't have anybody dying in that same sense. But I'm just saying, like, in that same sense of like a true tragedy includes someone dying, but in Gone Home it's just someone's missing, and you're trying to figure out what happened.
Heavy Rain.
Yes.
I played Heavy Rain. Would you consider that also in that same sense of like a lesbian tragedy or?
Well, no, like. It was a tragedy. Like, it kind of, Life is Strange kind of reminds me of Heavy Rain a little bit, because of, like, its story.
Definitely the same mechanical genre.
But, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely a very, very important comparison in terms of, like, they're very, very similar in a lot of ways. I just want to throw that out there, because the nature of gender and, you know, coming from a Christian background, bringing up the subject of lesbian and gay love stories is definitely a trickier subject to talk about. For me, it's super duper fascinating and weirdly my favorite genre. But the thing is, as far as adventure games go, but the reason why it's easy for me to enter into this story, and this is a harder topic, but I wanted to bring it up, is it's easy for me as a straight guy to play as a lesbian, because I'm used to inserting myself into female characters because I just play so many video games. And so I'm curious what it's like for those of you who are straight women. What's it like playing as a lesbian character? And did you feel like what Chloe's meant to be feeling and stuff like that?
I feel like after you go out to the lookout and then you have the fight with Rachel in the junkyard, and you can either say this is friendship, this is more than friendship. I definitely, because of the signals I was getting from Rachel, I definitely felt like it was more than friendship, but I didn't feel like that Chloe had really reflected on any of that. And you had often enough times to think about it, because you can go around and see what Chloe thinks about the squirrels and the birds eating the trash out of the trash can. So there was definitely opportunity for her to be like, why is this gorgeous girl who could have anybody in the school that she wants hanging out with me?
Right. Yeah.
And you never really got that.
Yeah, that's huge, because like, that's one of the things that makes Life is Strange unique in the genre, is because of how much you get to hear the main character's inner monologue. But yeah, you don't really get to hear that. And I wonder if that's because they wanted us players to kind of like figure that out for ourselves.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, like, no, she didn't say it, but it could have been just my own, have been me just putting my own like thoughts onto the character, but it seemed like it was almost kind of unspoken, or maybe that she said it like maybe in just how that she said things to people, like when they would talk about, like, because I know if you talk to Victoria Chase outside of Blackwell before you do the whole drama club thing and go in the train, that Victoria is like, you know, well, why is this, is something to the fact, you know, well, why is she talking to you, you know, like
was like, you know, I have why, no
why
idea.
Do you have this picture together? Like, why are you two best friends? And
sabotage your homework.
Small little things like that, it kind of works that in there without her like going around, I think, making it too right, too on the nose, I think, would be for her to be like, wow, I just wonder, you know, if she's, because I think, or at least like, I guess when I was playing, like I kind of put that there anyways. Like I was kind of like, oh, well, if I was this character, like that's what I would be thinking. Like, why is this person paying attention to me? You know, which I think is kind of like Chloe just kind of goes along with it without asking any questions. She's like, yeah, she's attracted to her, but also, hey, like this interesting, beautiful person is paying attention to me. Well, of course I'm going to do anything they want to do. Like, you know, sure, let's jump off a train, you know?
And so how many of you guys chose to tell Rachel that you are more than just friends? And how many of you said just friends? Frank, how about you? What did you choose?
We're just friends. Thank you.
I chose friends. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of,
I felt like it didn't, right, it didn't,
I kind
get
of
to that
read
point
it
yet.
As, I mean, I didn't read it as her saying like we're just friends, but just like to me, like, yeah, like what Frank said, like it had only gotten to the point to where like, yes, they had an attraction, but you know,
yeah, and they're in the middle of a fight and you have no
and
idea
also,
what that
like,
is going
you know,
on.
I mean, right. And to me, like just thinking how Chloe be thinking, like she's still like, she's still kind of probably, you know, I mean, she has maybe been dating Elliot, or her and Elliot's been going out, so this might be kind of unsure for her, you know? And so, you know, I always think she had a little bit more, as Madeline was saying, a little bit more figuring out to do before I was like, yes, this is something
different. I like that logic and that reasoning.
Yeah.
I chose friends the first time.
I went all the way, but even when you we're more than, not like that. When you say you're more than just friends, she says it really awkwardly. Like she is hopeful that this is reciprocated, that this is what she feels like.
Yeah,
but
she really puts herself out there.
But she's still unsure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I chose the same path as Madeline.
Yeah.
Awesome. How about you, Mason? Are you still with us?
Oh yeah. You know, it makes more sense to me that Chloe wouldn't miss the opportunity to at least try. And I kind of based that from reading her journal about Max. Super.
She started thinking,
Oh, yeah, well, because she's so upset. You know, she talks about how, you know, she's sending her messages and letters and calls, and Max is completely distancing, but Chloe never gives up. And then once she gets to her journal, she continues to just lay out all of her feelings and her thoughts, you know, and when that's presented to me, that makes me feel like she wouldn't hold up for anything.
Yeah.
You know? So, it didn't make sense that she would go, it's like, you know, she'd, you know, cast her line out there and figure it out later.
Yeah. That's good.
Especially after she's talking about, thinking about Briss while masturbating.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. Pretty much. It's in her journal to Max. Yeah. She.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did I miss that?
She uses slang to describe it, so you don't know what that means.
It's funny because I missed it the first time playing, and I read all the journals. But then playing it this time, I was reading the journals again, and I was like, "Oh, okay." Like I completely missed it the first time.
Yeah, and it's a little bit easier to miss because it's not a term that.
Yeah, you and really I think yeah, and it's kind of like to the far right. You know, I think it's.
It makes more sense for guys, I guess, a little bit to some extent. But I'm not.
Okay. So yeah, at this point in the episode, what happens is there's like this big fight between Rachel and Chloe because they've just stolen wine. They're getting drunk on wine, and you have no idea. I had no idea what was going on through any of this. And why all of a sudden Rachel just sort of like turned as a person.
Yeah.
Did anybody else catch and feel like they understood why suddenly Rachel turned as a person, or did you catch
what
was? Yeah.
Catch it.
got it the second it happened.
Yeah. So what happened, Frank, and how did you catch it?
Oh, it was I hate to say it was such a plot trope. Yeah, I saw it a mile away. It's like, first of all, the viewer, you start with the girl, but you can't, there's nothing on the girl.
You saw from a mile away that that was her dad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't expect it.
Totally honest. Saw that coming.
I probably would not have known it, but I had already seen later parts of the game, so I already know.
Oh, okay. I had no idea what was going on there. I was like, we're just on a date. We're just having fun. We're making fun of strangers.
Yeah, like, what are you
doing? And all of a sudden, she just kind of, like, disappears, wants to steal wine, and then she gets really pissy.
Yeah, I was completely lost as well.
I actually had to take a break at that point, and I was just like, I have no idea what's going on in this episode. I have no idea why she's so mad at me.
It's like on a real date.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck is happening?
I need to go to a junkyard and smash some things.
All those cheesy jokes they were making.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you're in the junkyard. You have these opportunities in conversation to try to, like, repair the relationship with Rachel. And did anybody find anything that remotely didn't work? Or remotely worked, rather?
I didn't.
I don't think I found anything.
Didn't really think there was much in the
I think it's all part of the
I'm pretty sure that everything that you do is terrible.
It just leads to smashing.
I loved how you hovered over any object and there was four different smash.
She was that angry.
I wonder if choosing a different one smashes it a different way.
No,
I don't know.
I tried it.
Disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know. I especially picked up on that the second time playing, because I played it for the first time a few months ago, as I said, for the article, but then I replayed it recently, and I noticed it then, and I was like, oh, like, that's, it really kind of just kind of drove home of, like, how her, the headspace that she was in, you know, of, like, she just wanted to smash, like, there was nothing else going on in her head other than destruction. And that was so Chloe to me. And like, this is where things started, like, really, like, building up and just tearing me apart.
This is where the episode either really, really, really works for you or it starts to maybe not. And for me, I just felt like I was just along for the ride. And the weirdest part is, like, this is where we have that weird, like, dad transition. Mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden she sees her dad's car in the junkyard. And I know that this is kind of like, I'm sure Frank was like, I saw that trope of a mile away as well.
No. That was like a telephone call through the chest.
It still got to me, but I mean, I knew it was going to be there because it's the same junkyard as later on, and you know their car is there.
I didn't know that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so they bring it up. And so I knew it was there somewhere. So I did see it, but still I cried.
That was awesome.
That was brutal.
Yeah, I cried a lot this time because, like, I really know what Chloe's going through. And it's tough. For sure.
Did anybody else get a little bit annoyed that Rachel goes and smashes the wine bottle, but then when you try to give her the bat, like, she just kind of, like, throws the bat away and is like, screw you, I'm not gonna go and smash stuff.
You're supposed to smash, but you're getting all smashy and you don't want to be smashy. Come on, you're half drunk, you need to be smashy.
She just wanted to be alone, she wanted to get out of there.
So this is the end of the episode. You finally catch up with her and you find out what really happened in that we already kind of glossed over the whole thing with her dad. The whole reason you went on the date to begin with was because she wanted to go and spy on her dad.
Yeah.
Which she of course finds out that he definitely did meet with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But they weren't just slightly lower rendered NPCs with no significance that you could make fun of, which is what I thought they were. But then, of course, Rachel kind of, like, sort of opens up a little bit, and then she burns down the entire town.
I love it.
What is it with this town?
Did anybody notice how it seemed like she had superpowers at first when she was screaming?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if they're trying to insinuate that. Or...
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be something related to the Tempest.
I think you're probably right because I was holding my controller and it was definitely rumbling as she was screaming.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to feel some sort of like supernatural emotion. Something or another there. And so of course there's the question, you know, is it meant to be supernatural or is it just extreme emotion?
I think it's just, I mean, to me at least, like I didn't register at all to be like, ooh, this is supernatural. This is like superpowers. Or I was just like, this is a really emotional moment.
Yeah.
For me, it was probably, that moment was probably one of the most emotional moments, maybe top 10 that it gets me every time, like that I played in a video game in the past year. Like it really, even the second time, knowing what was going to happen, playing the game, like I still like teared up and was like just completely swept away to where like afterwards I'm just left like as the credits are rolling, like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. I love it.
Yeah.
Claire's listening in.
Did anybody without noticing it, seeing it later on, you she ends up catching on fire in the dream sequence?
Right, that's true. Yeah. In the dream sequence right before.
Yeah.
Rachel is like on fire. Outside the car.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't catch that. I think that's like the whole like Firewalker kind of like Twin Peaks reference sort of thing.
Yeah.
At the end did you we all talked about how like we felt the emotion of the scene. Did you feel like how did you feel about Chloe's reaction to this moment? Because like in my mind, when you're like watching a romantic bonfire that's an entire forest, you either want to hold someone's hand or something else, but like Chloe's reaction was to back away and like
I actually like Chloe's reaction.
Yeah, she's like scared looking.
No, I was just gonna say I felt like that it was I don't know, like I like maybe the Chloe that we know from Life is Strange later would have been like, yeah, this is awesome. But like, I still think that she's still, we're only witnessing the beginning of like this.
Yeah, she's still a poser.
Like, transformation. Exactly. Exactly.
100%. Yeah. That Chloe has been talking her game up this whole episode. And this is when we really see her.
Yeah.
I think it also kind of shows, I guess, a little bit of what the, her relationship with Rachel is going to be. It's going to be like volatile and burning down forests
and everything and passion and intensity and terrifying.
Yeah, for sure.
I just realized that the wind thing reminds me completely of Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Cool. So, how did you feel about this overall? Like in terms of the episode, I talked to Madeline a little bit beforehand and she said that her feelings were mixed on it overall. So I'm going to put her on the spot and say like, why?
Yeah. I like the story when Chloe is with Rachel and when she's not, I am insanely annoyed by Chloe. And I realized that just means that I like Rachel, and that's fine. That's fine. But I, at the same time, I'm like, Rachel, you didn't want to go on a date with Chloe. You wanted somebody else to go with you so you could have cover for spying on your dad. And then you used Chloe basically as your verbal punching bag afterwards because you're angry. And then got her to do your dirty work and steal your wine. And then made her complicit in a federal offense.
Yeah, yeah.
You jailed for serious time.
Burning down an entire town.
So maybe I see where Chloe gets all that buttholishness that we see in Life is Strange.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, and it's not only that. Like, it's, I, to me, like, you know, one thing that I, anyways, but, you know, I can see, like, just with her abandonment issues. Well, it's random, Chris.
like, Chris, why are you posting a gif of a dog in a bin? I don't understand. It is like, completely unrelated. That is accurate.
There are so many things I think that work towards her or have started working towards, like, who she becomes in you know, later on with Max. You know, along with that, along with her relationship with wow, names just completely flew away from me. Rachel. There we go. Yeah. Her relationship with Rachel, as well as her abandonment issues with, you know, Will and her dad dying, and then her abandonment issues of, you know, her mom choosing her boyfriend and just kind of, you know, in Chloe's mind, forgetting about her and not caring about her as much. That's in Chloe's mind.
About Max, the whole sense of rejection overall. Yeah.
Max kind of just moving and just not speaking to her. You know, she has, there are so many things.
And then there's the crow. Really connected
to everybody.
What?
But you and feel really connected.
Everyone's speaking one time. Go ahead.
The crow?
Something about the crow?
Yeah, then there's a crow, which I think has a lot of symbolism to it.
Yes. Well, the original had the spirit, and you had the deer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree. I noticed that the second playthrough as well.
I feel like the crow is like symbolizing the grief that keeps following her around. And like every time she has like the I mean, it shows up in the nightmares and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, if you look at the totem pole up by the couple that's on their picnic, you can learn some stuff about the crow. Yeah,
yeah,
and
yeah.
It says basically that it's a trickster. In most cultures, crows are trickster gods, and that they're respected but never welcome.
Yeah, yeah,
and that was a huge analog for Chloe for me, because she's like, people know who she is and what her reputation is, and most people don't want to mess with her.
Exactly. Yeah, either because of her, either because of, you know, her dad, you know, she addresses that. She's like, you know, oh, people feel sorry for me because, you know, or says something to the effect
I'm the girl whose dad died.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because of her attitude.
Mm-hmm. But then nobody wants to actually be her friend also.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, what did you think of the episode overall? Did you feel like you were connected with the characters or what?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I felt like it gave you a better understanding or at least gave you the basis of how Chloe became to be and how her loss of essentially her world you know, affected her and, you know, brings her to who she is in the Life is Strange game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was, in that it was kind of explaining where and how she came to be as she is, like, today, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's awesome. Yeah. We had someone join the chat. Is that Claire?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I've just been awkwardly lurking in the background.
No, that's cool, cool. Hi. So you're Claire, and did you play through the... Yeah. Hi. I'm Josh. Did you play through the entire episode?
I watched the entire episode.
Nice.
It's a playthrough of it, which was very interesting.
That's awesome. So what did you think about it overall?
Mine's a very interesting perspective, because I've only played the first... maybe half hour or hour of Life is Strange.
Uh-huh. So you don't know what
happens. So I got the little tidbits of the character of the characters, and so now it's like, oh, okay, we're following along with this character.
Mm-hmm.
that I'm starting to get to know, and I know little bits about her in the next game, but not like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
That she behaves in this way. It's like, oh yes, I'm following this character in chronological order.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
It's so awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you like it overall?
Yeah, it was good. I think, yeah, this game explores really complex emotions and very like complex like character. I can't remember the word, but just the way that like the character is formed and like the reasons why they do something or the reason why they do something extremely rational. It's just very interesting. Like I didn't understand some of the character backgrounds, and then like the person that's playing it. It was two people, so it was really funny hearing them talk. They're like, oh yeah, this person, she's really angry because she's spying on her dad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh dang. But yeah, it was good. It was really good.
I just had a thought. Does anybody, you know, I couldn't really advise Claire whether or not to keep playing or keep watching the prequel before you finish Life is Strange, because I'm torn.
It'd probably be an interesting thing to experience this game.
Would you mind being a guinea pig for us?
Not at all.
So don't do any more of the original and just experience this one, and then go back and do the original, and then come back and present like a 5-paragraph essay about your
what is that?
Your immediate thoughts. But five paragraph essays. I always read them.
So funny. Don't change a thing, Claire.
Yeah.
That's the official game chat word.
Yes.
I was going to check in with Madeline on this because of what she said. I said at the forest fire when she starts on Banshee on the woods.
Tree. Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, Chloe has perfect right to take a step back because it's like, well, you know, damn, I lost my father and I just saw the car that he died in.
Mm-hmm.
And you just saw your father kissing a girl. Okay, yeah, it's rough. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 9.5 and you're about a 5 right now.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like they're in emotional distress. For like a real, you know, kind of like sort of dick move. Not saying that would be unjustified, but like the impact of the conversation would definitely be more forceful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that shows also just like how the characters express themselves, where like there's this insane roller coaster of emotions going on in Chloe, and she's only expressing it by, I don't know, graffitiing and beating up a mannequin while Chloe's, or not Chloe, Rachel's burning down a freaking tree.
But
there's also the time difference. Chloe's dad has been gone for months.
Yeah.
You know, though the wound is fresh again by her just finding the car. And Rachel's dad is still alive, and that feels more like an act of choice. And Chloe's dad didn't choose to die in a car accident, but Rachel's dad knows that he has a family and is still actively choosing to do this other thing. And I think the betrayal is different than just the loss.
Totally.
Good point. Well, okay. Well, it is 10:27, guys. I'm going to wrap this wonderful conversation up. But thank you everyone for your thoughts, for your contributions. Josh, it was great having you here. You're a great conversationalist.
Thanks for letting me run the show from you more than a few times.
No, that's fine. No, I enjoy it. Sweet. So next week we're just covering episode 2. I'm excited. So I'll let you guys go. but again, thanks again. Claire, thanks for dropping by for a couple of minutes.
I'm glad that I got to hear what you thought about the episode. Great. Especially just watching and coming in without having played the first full game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
One quick question
to continue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about the game overall, and I remember hearing that there was like a Max episode or something.
Yes.
What's the deal with that, and why isn't it available right now?
It's coming out in March, and I think it has to do with the box set manufacturing and everything.
It hasn't been released yet. It's been released, Chris. It was like, what, mid-March, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so it's only on the deluxe version. It's not on the regular version, but you can purchase it separately if you've already bought the
as like DLC.
Version.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, March 6th. Exactly.
March 6th. So like we are going to cover that here because it is kind of a full episode, I think. Okay. So what we're going to be doing is doing the three episodes that currently are available. Then there'll be like a week in between that we'll pick up something, and then we'll cover the Max episode after that. But
awesome.
Yeah. So it's definitely going to be covered here.
So maybe we'll find out why the heck Max has been such an elusive.
Exactly.
I want to
push her around
because
a bit.
She is in high school, and ended up getting thrust into new friends and everything.
I mean, if you're getting like tons of notifications of your old friend wanting to talk to you on Messenger or whatever,
she sent like a few messages.
I've been there, and there's no excuse for it.
Yeah. some people are just really horrible at messaging people back.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right, Frank. Awesome. Yes.
I was gonna say, in this instant social media world, an unreplied text is deafening.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, guys. Well, have a great week. And I will see you guys next week here as we discuss episode 2 at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Awesome.
All right. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.